to Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz.
With Kunetho Mphuphi. On Kaya 959.
Yep, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, in South Africa, we are well aware that we are celebrating and participating in 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. And so often when you think about gender-based violence, it's unfortunate that too many women in South Africa actually struggle with this. Many that we know personally, others in their personal capacity, and of course, even through the friendships and colleague circles that we work with. And so often we often think about abuse, including physical, mental, and emotional factors. But there is a case for financial abuse. It's incredibly prevalent in South Africa and exists in majority of abusive relationships that then include physical, mental, and emotional abuse. To tell us more about this, we join on the line by Janine Horn, financial advisor at Momentum. Janine, good to have you with us, and thank you for joining us for what's a very critical, sometimes uncomfortable, and painful conversation, but one that needs to be had nonetheless. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Gugu and listeners. You are most welcome. It's certainly a subject matter that is both controversial, disturbing, and needs to be spoken about more and more.
Definitely. Let's start, Janine, I guess, by just explaining what financial abuse actually is.
So financial abuse is actually a subcategory of what is called economic abuse. And economic abuse is recognized by the courts and by government. And in the presidential summit on gender-based violence and femicide, the president spoke of the theme of accountability, acceleration, and amplification. And this is the amplification of financial abuse. And so a very simplistic definition is really when one person in a relationship, doesn't mean marital only, can be business, can be partnership, can be cohabiting, can be family, can be, it's so broad in terms of what the nature of the relationship. Usually the male has power and takes power, agency, autonomy, the financial freedom of spending and controls how they distribute money for their own personal gain and makes decisions for and affects us as women in terms of our own finances. And it's not, it's often overlooked because it's not the common GBV of physical, emotional, mental, and sexual. And yes, it's often overlooked.
And coupled with that, it's, as you say, it's overlooked as well, because the perception is that women are often looking to date men with more money than them. So then that creates the stereotype and perception that it's the man who's making the money.
Exactly.
Doesn't necessarily influence that kind of abuse. Help us unpack how to spot financial abuse, right? Because so often many of us might confuse this with saying, well, I'm helping my partner out, or I'm helping this friend out, or my business partner just happens to be going through a very difficult phase and they'll pay me back. But how do we need to spot this I guess its influence as to how we then need to fix it?
Exactly. And so it's the bit about power and privilege over you around your money and taking your financial voice and actions away from you. And so, you know, there are tons and quintillion amounts of examples one can share. But let's just start with the common ones. Mm-hmm. So it may not be obvious in the first place. And there may be slight signs that indicate that there's a financial voice and autonomy that's being taken and held over you. And then those get stronger and stronger, or it is so loud and amplified that you know you don't have a financial voice and power. So, for example, you may recognize that your partner has arranged or agreed on a budget or takes loans out in your name and stops paying it or reneges on the agreements that you've made, on the discussion that you've agreed on the money. The repayments are then left up to you. You need to go and fix your credit record because it's been affected by that. Mm-hmm. And so repayments aren't made, repayments aren't agreed to by the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. Another example is where the partner takes away the bank account, takes away the access to the bank card, and dictates how and what should be spent. So many of us are two household incomes. Mm. Business partnerships, we all contribute to the partnership, but but one person makes the decision of that joint household income, or you are contributing more financially than the other, even though you are equally earning money. Your partner may even urge or coerce you to stay home, be a housewife, look after him and the kids. And also in that manner, your job is you leave your job behind. So that you can be financially dependent on that partner. And we know that financial finances are the root cause of other GBV actions, and that's a fact. You often are asked to carry out most of the household financial load, again, even though both of you are earning. You don't get to understand what the partner's money matters and where it's going. You are constantly needing to dish out all the time. At divorce or maintenance, you're the one that ends up with less. You're the one that has to fight for your piece of the pie. You're the one that where money is being hidden from you through those actions and procedures. And so it may not be obvious, but I'm sure that there are listeners out here who go, I recognize that. I've experienced that. This is financial trauma. This is hurt and this is painful.
You're very right. It's a trigger for many of us, right? I guess many women can relate in various capacities. And I guess the concern here, Janine, is that financial abuse, as you say, doesn't happen in isolation. It's usually met with a lot of manipulation, mental and emotional abuse, even perhaps even some physical threats. So it might not have a great focus or be viewed in that manner, but it comes as a consequence of many other forms of abuse. And the difficult part then is knowing how to stop it, because I guess, like many other abuses, you can't stop it in isolation. So what kind of corrective action would be necessary here?
So I feel like globally, the world is speaking out against aspects of economic abuse. For example, one of the 17 goals of the 2030 Sustainable Development Global Agenda is to achieve gender equality. And amongst a host of things, give women access to resources. And as a society, women are at the forefront of being victims of GBV. And so even so, as an unequal economic member of society. So for me, the first aspect of that question is recognizing and trying to rehabilitate, trying to speak to a professional, a money coach, a therapist, a friend, a family member, a superior at work, an external business mentor, an external business consultant, were you needing maintenance assistance or divorce assistance economically, having an independent viewpoint. Unfortunately, us as women, we often run scared and we often take it as it comes. And so recognizing is the first aspect. The second one is being able to seek help, seek counseling, going for advice. And of course, we know that abuse tends to get worse over time. So the common notion is it will get better. I'm staying, it will get better. Let me just help him, it will get better. It's just, you know, him being difficult. It's just the gender pay gap. It's just boredom, antics, and bullying. But once you see it in action, trust that first instinct. When you recognize and see it in its face, know that it often doesn't get better, just like many other abusive situations. So over time, you need to do something about that. You need to find your financial worth. You need to find the person, the friend, the counselor, the family member, the advisor is a good place to start. And it's really never too late to reclaim and to renew your financial voice. You know, change comes through relentlessly advocating for yourself. And we are often told, and Google, you would agree with me, we are difficult, we are aggressive. You know, we want to just moan and groan about things. This is the thing about advocating for yourself. It doesn't matter what the labels are. Try to break the cycles. We need to call out these double standards. Financial healing is us addressing these perpetual events these rank abusive issues, these social, cultural abusive issues, these gender abusive issues, these racial abusive issues, right? And so being financially literate is another part of the solution.
For sure.
And being able to understand the patterning and the behavior and the generational financial trauma,
definitely,
the systemic and systematic oppression that comes through the types, the rank, the privilege, the race, the gender, the business relationships. And so it may be a very difficult subject, very new in the GBV space,
but
it often leads to other issues.
Definitely. Janine, you've hit the nail on the head, and I believe that this is the beginning of many more conversations that will come out of this as a consequence. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
That's most welcome.
Thank
all the best to you and the listeners. Bye-bye.
That's Janine Horn, financial advisor at Momentum, helping us talk about financial abuse, right? 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and a key aspect, because we know that none of these abuses really happen in isolation. So let's keep the conversations going, but beyond just a talking point, this is where we also need to put in the necessary action to stop these abuses from taking place. It's a minute after 8 o'clock. Do keep listening. Point of View is up next.
Check us out on Instagram at Kaya959.